This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thanks, Mike. I'm conscious of the time as well. I suspect you'd like me to accelerate a little bit, so I'm going to chop a little bit out because I suspect it'll rehearse some things that have already been said. It is a great pleasure to be here because this is a really timely conference. Higher education policy clearly of the moment, and I think we've already heard a number of strong views and opinions about the direction of travel. I'm one of those people who think that all institutions are going to have to adapt to that new context and to continue to build and co-produce those elements which drive the relationships that we've got with our existing students and with prospective students. So I'm thinking that for me this is about trying to continue to build on the relationship issues that we've developed over time as we've thought about providing timely advice, high quality advice and proper guidance for students in the system. What I wanted to do today was to touch on these few issues, and I'm going to cut out a little bit, I think, around the changes to HE funding policy, because it will rehearse some things and I expect not necessarily add a lot of value. What I do, though, want to do is to alert you to the future. And in your packs today, you'll see there a 94-group document on enhancing information, advice and guidance for prospective students. And that's a report stemming from a JISC-funded project, which I do want to talk about a little bit. And it gives you an idea of the sorts of things that we've been thinking about within the 94 group, and we're launching that today as a document as part of the process to think about what are the sorts of things that we might want to build on in the future. And I think it is an important starting point, certainly for the institutions that I represent, that that we've got those sorts of bits of information in front of us to build on. So with that plug out of the way, I'm going to skip over this set of issues, other than to reinforce the point that was made both by Aaron and in David in quite different ways, that money's now going to directly follow the student, assuming that the changes that we've got go through, and that will give them much greater power to determine which universities thrive and which do not. And frankly, as we heard, they're going to expect a good value for their contributions. And I think that point has already actually been made very starkly by David Willetts at the Conservative Party conference earlier this year, where he said, "We cannot expect people to pay more after they graduate if they've not been taught properly. I want to be able to look students in the eye and say that they're getting a better education in return for the higher contribution that they'll make." So I think there you can see a pretty clear statement of the political context that at least one part of the coalition is going into as they think about both the vote before the end of this year and then the white paper next year. And I think we're left in a position where we'll have more demanding students wanting to see demonstrable value for the contributions that they're making, and they'll want to see further efforts being made to attract less traditional students into university. And I think that's the theme that sort of drives the position that we've got on information, advice and guidance. And so I just wanted to touch on that for the rest of this talk. I think all of us believe that if universities and schools and colleges work together to produce more timely AAG, then we will be able to raise aspirations and improve progression, leading to students being able to make choice, and in the case of the 94 group and Russell group, being able to find those receptors that they need to get into research intensive universities. And there is a huge body of work actually to build upon. The National Student Survey, I think, has been a considerable success and is one of the few public policy national indicators directly focused on assessing the student experience. It's already strongly supported by the sector, and the governments and its findings communicate it pretty well, and I think we should keep on reinforcing that. Second point here to make, and and it's actually driven by today's government. But while David Willetts was in opposition, he worked with Microsoft and other partners to develop a new student investment, student information website, Best Course for Me. And that site was launched in February and allows individual students to give their views on teaching standards and quality of feedback for their work. And it also provides more detailed information that than universities normally publish on their own website. So it majors on things like graduate employment rates, salaries, those sorts of things. So it's a slightly different set of information. I think another welcome development is the UUK NUS group on HE student charters and agreements. That group was launched in April and I think is due to report in December, and is currently examining current practice across the sector on student agreements and charters, and developing guidance for what might be included in each individual university agreement. So, for example, that could cover expectations on feedback, contact hours by course, and the principles of allocating student accommodation, and all of those sorts of soft issues outside the normal teaching environment that we normally talk about. I hope that group is going to make a strong contribution to providing more transparent and accurate information about universities and what they offer for prospective students. At Lancaster, we've already made some headway to developing such a charter, and so we've specifically tried to set out there the standard of the facilities and services and teaching that a student can expect. And similarly, on the other side, we've tried to set out what the responsibility that the students have within that charter to being part of their degree course and being an active part of the university community. And that's provided us with a set of benchmarks which we can then work out how to allocate resources for the future and to reinforce the nature of the relationship within that institution. And I suspect when we see the report in December, lots of universities will have started in that direction of travel. It'll be, I think, a really interesting moment. But it is clear that we do need to understand student expectations and to transform the nature of that part of the transparency of what we offer to students. I think it's really, really important that we set off in that direction in a firmer way. I think we can already see a large number of experiments taking place, and I just wanted to highlight two here today, which I think are interesting, one from Durham and one from Reading, because they give an idea of the sorts of thought processes that are going on within our own institutions, people trying to drive out new ways of interacting with the student body. So Durham University is currently creating a searchable online program database for prospective students. It's located in the top level of their website, two or three clicks away from the university's homepage, and it aims to provide headline facts on each program, content, admissions information, fees and funding, careers opportunities, and it'll allow students to compare programs easily and allow them to get fact-based quantitative information very quickly. And that will mean that students will be able to shortlist institutions at a program level with much greater confidence. So it's a comparative process across institutions. And clearly that's intended to be targeted at undergraduates, taught course postgraduates, and specifically home, international and mature students. And so I think it's trying to deal with some of the complexity that Mary showed us in her slides. And I think it'll also be fully compatible for various disabilities to allow a whole range of students or prospective students to use the site effectively. So that's going on at the moment. I think it's about to be launched on the university's website, and encourage you to look at that. The second one is University of Reading's Student Story Scheme, and a very different lens into advice, information and guidance coming out of this product at Reading. And it's a web-based resource offering students and other young people access to honest accounts of student and university life from those who've experienced it firsthand. So it's a website which contains hundreds of audio clips generated from informal interviews with current students and recent graduates from a range of UK universities, so it's not just Reading, about their undergraduate experience. And it explores student views about learning, conflicts, changing feelings, and in a candid way. So you can see there the themes that come out of that is transition from school to university, developing a sense of identity, adapting to a new academic culture, juggling part-time work and study, and thinking about the future. So I think a whole raft of concerns legitimately that students will have will be personalised through those sorts of processes. And I think it is interesting just to see these range of experiments, and I'm sure that many of your institutions of WAL are thinking about similar sort of interventions in the market. The other thing I wanted to alert you to today was this project that we've had funded with JISC, and you can see, and I'm not going to go through all these details, but you can see on the slide some of the responses to the survey component of this, which have come through. So we're working to ensure that information which can enhance applicants' understanding of the university experience is made in an effective way, and our project is intended to result in a high-quality, interactive online resource aimed at international and domestic applicants and their parents and families. So we've surveyed 97 higher education institutions, and you can see there the sort of the self-critique that we've got of the sort of information that's currently available. And this project is about to be completed. I think we're in negotiations now about where to place it on an ongoing basis on a website to allow it to be refreshed and updated. I think the danger with all of these sorts of sites is you can do them once and you can get them up to speed, but keeping them fresh is actually then a really problematic issue. What I would alert you to, though, is the last of the points, which is this issue about concern about information overload. So we're already seeing, and I think Mary gave a really good indication of the range of media that we can now use to interact with prospective students and their families. And I think already we're seeing that some students or prospective students are saying, actually, there's too much here. We need a little bit of simplicity in the system. So I think that should be an alert to the professionals in this room about how you present information, advice, and guidance. Our new resource, I think, then is going to intended to address some of the issues in the survey and shape the online portal into a sort of coherent framework to help students navigate that higher education journey and make sense of that plethora of information. And simply, we're trying to do three things here. I think, firstly, to help manage students' and applicants' expectations of university learning, because I think there's an awful lot of misunderstanding about that. Secondly, to better inform the decisions of applicants, and again, I think Mary's data shows the need to do that. And then thirdly, to better explain the nature and type of academic contact that's on offer at any particular university. And we'll also have interactive signposting to other websites to make sure that students then can navigate all of that. I think that the whole issue about the student experience starts well before the student gets to university, and clearly communicated relevant information backed by proper advice and guidance, I think, is going to transform and shape the student experience. As Aaron said, we will see a huge surge in changed expectations and different types of assertiveness from the student body coming out in the next 5 to 10 years. I think actually preparing now for that and to think effectively about how to make sure we get talented people into the universities that they're qualified to get into is something that all of you interested in information, advice and guidance can help us with enormously. Thank you very much.